James Duthie, the host of Trade Center in studio. Is that kind of putting the cart before the horse? Because you're going to be hosting the game tonight as well on TSN 4.
True. I guess it depends what your priorities are. If you're an Ottawa Senators, Winnipeg Jets fan, Nashville, you probably want to care about the Trade Center. If you're a Leafs fan, not so much, right?
I guess so.
Care about Ovi and the Caps.
Right. What's your routine like leading up to Trade Center?
If you saw what was in my dressing room right now and what the scene that went on about an hour ago...
You'd be arrested. You would be.
No, it's not that. It's just... I don't really want to... I have like a giant giraffe in my dressing room.
It's just stuffed, right? It's
not a live one. Rod Smith was down there in a get-up. I don't even know where to start. I guess I can't give it away because it's Trade Center, you know? But... it's good. It's all good. It's going to be fun. You know, I've said openly for the last 5 years that I came to dread this day because it's the only show on television that is hyped more every year and usually delivers less. And I don't mind saying that. I said it to my bosses. They know that. This is the first year this is the best talent at the top available that we've ever had. Do you remember a year with better?
I don't.
Last year, number three on our trade bait list was Mike Green. And no offense to Mike Green, but an aging defenseman who could give a little bit of help maybe to somebody. And this year right now, number three on our trade bait list is Mark Stone. I mean, it's just night and day from what we've seen the last four or five years.
It is night and day, but we've also pumped up a lot of things going to happen on Trade Center Day.
No, I think
they don't happen.
No, I think that there's a decent chance, like if Stone and Duchesne are going... that they'll probably go on the weekend or something, that nobody likes to leave it till the last second. Although Dorian's a little bit different than some of these guys. So, I mean, that's the biggest problem we've had with Trade Center the last few years is GMs got smart. And I've always said, to me, the TSN turning point was the day that Ryan Smith was traded to the Islanders because he didn't want to get traded and the Oilers didn't want to trade him, but they both waited so long and suddenly it was... almost 3 o'clock and they had to do something and they were a couple hundred grand apart and boom, he got traded and then he's in tears and the Oilers aren't happy. And I think after that, GMs got smart and most of the big deals were done a week before, 2 weeks before. And so I'm hoping Pierre Dorion can hold off a little bit.
Well, Bob McKenzie was tweeting in the past hour that unless something gets done here contractually with Dzingel and Stone, he'd be shocked if they're playing tonight. We're all working under the assumption that Duchesne will not be playing.
If they trade all of those three guys,
One of the worst rosters?
It's apocalyptic as far as the fan base. I'm not saying like if they got a lot back, there's still potential future in Ottawa. But the message that sends to the fan base after losing Carlson to trade your top three scorers is, I don't know how you come back from that.
James, well, here's what simple. I would say though:
nobody wants to play there.
They're the 31st place team in the league with these guys.
Nobody wants to play there because they don't trust the owner. I don't agree that nobody wants to play there. Oh, and I talked to players last night who actually think the room is much better this year. The kids are good. There's hope there. But if they trade these three guys, the rebuild's going to be 4 or 5 years. And your statement is accurate only in the sense that nobody believes that the owner will spend the money that he's promising to spend. Nothing wrong with the city, the franchise, some of the young players they have there, but nobody believes the owner. They all stood and watched his speech when he was in Toronto a few weeks ago, and they were mandated to attend the speech, and I just think that... And you know what? Eugene could be sincere. He could... Maybe he's telling the truth, that wants to spend to the cap.
How do you
But the problem is people don't believe him, and that's the biggest issue he has. And if Stone leaves... That's the only reason he's leaving. That's a guy who wanted to stay. Duchesne wanted to stay. The only reason they're leaving is they don't believe that the owner and the GM can pull off what they say they're going to pull off. And if that's the case, where do you go? Where do you go after this?
Well, and who are you spending
Young,
that money
innocent,
on?
Young, innocent, naive kids.
Yeah.
That's where you go.
You do, but then when they come around and, you have them under control for a while. And if you got a lot back in the trades, I suppose you have a potential to have a really good team in 4 or 5 years. But again, this fan base is going to be like, why am I buying a ticket for...
Here's the thing. They're not going to get a better trade than what they got for Carlson. So, and I don't think they got enough for Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
Carlson had a year left on his deal at 6'5".
It was a summer trade where you usually get more.
These guys are UFAs at the end of the year. Why would, and if you're in Ottawa, why would you be thinking these are going to be blockbuster trades that all of a sudden set you
down? Well, Mark Stone could fetch you a lot.
As much as Carlson, though?
No.
He should.
For a rental, no, but that's as good a rental as you can possibly get. Right.
Right? Really quality player.
Yeah.
But you would have to hope that if Mark Stone is being traded, that Pierre's engaging with teams that are looking to sign him for a longer-term deal to try to, and then therefore the return becomes greater.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ideally,
yeah. Same
and
with
that's
Duchesne.
Why you got to make a decision here, so you can, so the agent and those teams can talk it over the next 3 or 4 days.
Duchesne's building a house in Nashville. You know, everybody in Ottawa is freaking out over that. I don't really think it's anything. I think he planned it for a year. He does the country music, and I think Nashville's an exploding city. It would be a nice place to have a home. A lot of NHL players have multiple homes, but that's a place where I'm sure he'd be happy to sign if you could do something like that, right? But I don't know what goes the other way, Kyle Dewars.
Yeah. No kidding.
Ooh.
But it just, without this pick, too, that would be the one element of hope. Is that, okay, we're the worst team in the league and all these guys are going, but there's a real good chance we're getting Jack Hughes. Right. And you're not getting him.
Capo Caco with the first pick, Craig Button?
Let me ask you this, James. Hypothetical for the podcast.
We always support that.
Harper Boots podcast. If the Edmonton Oilers won the lottery, would they draft Jack Hughes? Another center?
Of course they
I don't
would.
Think they can't. There's
Cackle's getting pretty close to him, isn't he?
Well, I mean, he's a good player. He's a really good player.
But
they can't draft Cackle. They can't draft Hughes, can they? That's the hypothetical. That's for you and Puff to determine.
Okay, so if we're Edmonton, we'll trade you the pick, which is Jack Hughes, but you also have to take Lucic, and you have to give us back eight good pieces.
Well, maybe that's what you got to do. Maybe that's a way out of cap hell.
Yeah, maybe.
But they got McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins as their only three forwards, and they're all centers. They're going to draft another one?
Billy D, our producer, just was throwing out hypotheticals in our meeting and said, okay, if you're Colorado, would you take Stone, Duchesne, and Dzingel? Would you give Ottawa back its pick and something else?
It's actually a good question.
You'd have to get more than just the pick back if you gave them Stone, Duchesne, and Dzingel.
Yeah, you need the defenseman.
You can get Shane Bowen.
But the fact
back.
That that's even being asked, it's just, it's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
But the fact that Ottawa is the center of the universe kind of for the second straight trade center after Carlson is, but for all the wrong reasons, unfortunately.
Right.
Well, and I always wonder if your boy Dubas is going to be, you know, if there's anything percolating beyond, you know, if there's any, they're so quiet now, which is always interesting, and I always wonder if there's something bigger than you know, some minor move for a depth defenseman or whatever it may be. I have no idea.
Is that a tease for?
No, that's not a tease. I'm just trying to hype Trade Center and lie to people.
Well, I mean, would it shock anybody? It shouldn't. The Leafs consider themselves in cup contention. Look at Boston. They won again last night.
Yeah, you wouldn't be shocked if something came out and they got
They better be, you know, you better be trying to improve your team. It doesn't mean it has to happen or you want to pay the price. But if you're not inquiring, then what the hell are you doing?
Are you trying to build your team now to beat Boston because it's so obvious they're playing them? Can you do that? Do you actually have to respond to a Charlie Coyle trade?
No,
that you don't, right?
It's no.
We were talking like Charlie Coyle, you don't go out and get some big grinder. In the playoffs, Austin Matthews has got to go in the corner and beat Zdeno Chara to pucks. John Tavares has got to probably outplay Patrice Bergeron.
I agree 100%.
Like, don't try to go out and say, oh, they got that, so I got to go get this. If you want to make a move to make a team better, that makes sense, but that's what's got to happen. Mm-hmm. You got these star players, guys that want to be paid a lot of money, go out and play like it.
Remember 2007? Anaheim won the cup. They beat Detroit in the conference final. And Brian Burke said after they won the cup, this is the way the game's going. Everybody's going to get big. It's a copycat league. The Detroit Red Wings never wavered. And who was the coach of that team? Mike Babcock. They came back the next year and they won the cup. To your guy's point, be the best you can be is who you are. Because you know what? When you don't have Pronger, you don't have that team, like, go and be.
Plus, you can't just play for Boston.
Right.
If your goal is to win the Stanley Cup, yes, you have to get out of the first round. But you can't like make two moves just for Boston, and then you suddenly have Tampa one round later. I agree with you guys. It doesn't make any sense. But I hear people talking that way.
Well,
who do you want in the net, Anderson or Rask? I'm taking Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
Morgan Rielly or any defenseman on Boston? Who's got three better centermen than Toronto?
It, in the end, it's all about can. It's all about just stopping the friggin' Pasternak,
right?
Marchand line, and I guess that's on Nas. And they didn't do it last year, but
well, Auston Matthews has to be significantly better than he was a year ago, and so does William Nylander, and Freddie Anderson has to be better too. He didn't have a good enough first round,
right?
But you know, it's
a year older. They should be better,
right? They should be, and you have to strengthen your strength. I think is what we're saying. It's not only about acquiring pieces where maybe the weaknesses start to disappear a little bit more. If you can strengthen on top of a strength, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think when you look at the path, 1-2-3, this is the toughest top three in the league of any division. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's really that close. I mean, Winnipeg and Nashville are great. Number three is miles behind where the Leafs would be right now. And the Pacific, the same thing. San Jose and Calgary, really good teams. Vegas is not anywhere close to what Toronto represents. So I think it's just an element of truth. You're looking at it, you're like, you got to go through Boston and Tampa, and then you're only halfway home. Halfway home if you somehow find a way to win those two series. Like, that's a tough path.
But
man.
Going and back to what you're talking about, despite what's happened in the regular season games, okay, what's different from last year? Well, you got a younger team that should be more experienced. You have John Tavares. They have Charlie Coyle, and I'm trying to, who else has Boston added? I can't think of anybody of significance. I might be missing somebody. But you should be better. Forget what's happened in the regular season games. Over a 7-game series, you've added John Tavares, plus some others. You know, Muzzin hasn't been great lately, but hopefully come playoff time, you should be better. Mm-hmm. You should win the series. And if you don't win the series, then you have to do the serious navel-gazing, I guess.
I agree, James.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, the growth of Johnsson, growth of Kapanen, growth of Morgan Rielly. Yeah, He's grown year over year.
Yeah, the emergence of Morgan Rielly
right.
is that number one defenseman.
What do you guys make of Nylander playing center tonight? We don't know when Kadri's going to return. He won't return tonight, but Nylander's going to play up the middle, at least for the first shift.
It's the perfect luxury. That's the luxury of William Nylander. He's not a center, but can play center. It's beautiful. That's what you want. That's that's the flexibility
you
that William
Freddie
Nylander
to go to
you.
Around there in the third line?
No, you got to put somebody in there, clearly.
Yeah, and he's the guy to do it.
It's either Nylander, Marlowe's done it in past years. I don't think he can do it anymore.
I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think he should do it.
But I think, you know, to credit William Nylander, we didn't bring this up earlier in the week, but his season has officially started. Like, he's been playing a lot better. He's come alive, and I think this speaks to it. Babcock would not put him in the middle of the ice a month ago. There's no chance.
We did a game a couple weeks ago, and I was giving Pooley a hard time because he kept saying Nylander's really close. And I said, you can't just keep saying that. At some point, he's a goal scorer and playmaker. He's got to do something. And then I went to see a game live on a night off, and I was like, oh, Nylander's really close because he looked like the fastest guy on the ice by far. So I do think you guys are right. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, he's coming alive. So we'll see tonight. Washington is in town, and Carl Hagelin acquired by them. Didn't give up a ton. I mean, Hagelin's a guy with pace, cup experience.
Have you watched him play the last year and a half?
Not in L.A. I haven't watched him play.
Him in Pittsburgh?
Not
basically
anymore,
he's nothing.
Well, they didn't give up anything, so what does it matter? Well, it's a depth move.
You know what you get for nothing? You give up nothing. I think he's got 9 points or something. He's been awful.
So you don't think he's going to add anything? Do you think he'll even play then?
I hope he doesn't turn
into
this.
Gonna play 18 months. I mean, we're talking 18 months of nothing. Of nothing.
All right. Then why did they acquire him?
Because I think that teams fall in love with what players used to be.
Well, of course. That's not new.
I'd have been going after Trevor Lewis if I were Washington. That's who I would have been going after.
He's
going
to be moved. I mean, that's what it sounds like, right?
Well, I'd be going after him. People better hope that Tampa Bay doesn't pick him up.
I wanted to ask you guys something that we're going to ask on the pregame tonight, and it's something I've avoided talking about for a couple years because people would bring it up and I'd say it's stupid. And it's getting to the point where it's not quite stupid anymore. Do you think Ovi has a shot at Gretzky's goals record? And we're going to lay it out tonight what he exactly has to do. And it's something like this. It's about 7 more years of, it's like 54. Like, let's say it's 54 this year, 41 next year, 39, 36, 33, 32, 30, or something like that. And he passes Gretzky. And that's playing till 40. And you can skew that. I've always argued if he scores like 50 next year and then 50 the year after, if he can continue at a high pace, then suddenly all you have to do is get like 28, 25, 20. Do you think I still don't think it's going to happen, but it's almost a conversation. And the fact that it's almost a conversation is pretty remarkable, don't you think?
It is remarkable. I think the wheels just fall off sooner or later with that many miles on him.
Mm-hmm.
Big man, physical.
You look at Gretzky. I look at two examples. Like Gretzky, you know, who had scored and then it came to an end. Jerome McGinley is the most recent example. you know, big man, could shoot the puck and score, and then it just all of a sudden it was like there was nothing left.
Yeah, you turn into a 14-goal scorer. Yeah.
But he, the only thing I will say, and I know you've just mentioned Gretzky and you've mentioned again the two special guys, but he is a freak.
Oh, I agree.
Like, he's 34 and he's missed 14 games or something. So that whole Russian machine, don't break down. Like, I could see him having 3 or 4 more years in the 40s. Here's, and then you hang on and try and get 20 and 25 or whatever and do it.
One thing you also have to consider is with his stats and his payroll, and he might just say, I don't want to play anymore.
But if he plays for 3 or 4 more years and it's within the realm of possibility, that might be enough to convince a guy to chase like 3 more years. Like that record, I grew up thinking, okay, that's one of the records in sports. And obviously Gretzky's points record will never get touched, but you looked at the goals and you said, that's impossible. Nobody can score 50 a year for 18 years, which is what it is when you start out. But I just think it's fascinating that it's even within the realm of conversation without being laughable.
It's not inconceivable. Yeah, I keep doubting the guy, or not doubting him, but I'm like, yeah, this year he scores 38. Mm-hmm. No, he's at 40. I think he's got 42 already.
42. Yeah. He'll be at 55 by the end of it.
You two are probably right, though. They'll be at some point, whether it'll probably be late, like 37 or 38 if he keeps playing, but at some point it'll just be, he'll have 18 and he'll retire, right?
But you say that, James, but it is a legitimate, it's not ludicrous to talk about
it's not
it anymore.
Insane.
And no, it isn't. And he loves to play.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing that like sits in Ovi's mind, to be not the greatest Russian player of all time, but can you imagine if the Russian holds the goal-scoring record of all time? Because that would never get broken.
No.
I think one thing that would help his cause, like, it's not out of, like, the realm of possibility. Like, just get 60 this year.
Right.
He could score 18 more for fun.
Well, and you know what's helped him recently is he's had incredible starts. Incredible.
Yes.
Remember last year he had like 8 goals in 2 games or something? The first 3 games?
He gets to 10. We're in the first week of the season.
Before you know
he's got 30 by Christmas.
Exactly.
But what he's got to do this year, if they don't win the cup, he's got to go on the same regiment in June and July that he did last year, winning the cup.
He plays better with a cup hangover.
Go jump in tubs.
Yeah.
Roll
no
around,
cup hangover.
Drink beers.
Because that was another hurdle. It's like, all right, now shorter off season, hungover for 3 months. No, right back at it. He's going to win a rocket again.
Yeah.
All right, James.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Pre-game.
Okay, see you,
there's James Duffy. The Leafs will be on TSN 4 tonight. You can catch James in the panel. And, of course, James will be doing his thing, working his magic on Trade Center.